Welcome to Community Convos, a podcast and radio program from LCC Connect, with conversations about what's happening in Lansing and around mid-Michigan. Hey, this is Didelia, and welcome back to the Convo once again. And with me in the studio is a couple of folks. I'm going to introduce our host for the day is Megan Simmons. Megan, welcome to the Convo.
Thank you.
Now, this is your first time joining us, and the reason you are joining us is because you expressed some interest in being a part of what we do here at LCC Connect, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I was so excited to hear from you.
And then you got to talking about Pickapalooza, and I said, okay, I don't know Jesse, so why don't you invite Jesse in, and you interview Jesse about Pickapalooza. That's the way this kind of all came down,
right? It did, and I absolutely love it. I was so excited to, number one, to have you reach out to me about this, because I'm born and raised from Lansing, and there are so many amazing things that are happening in mid-Michigan, and not a lot of people know what is behind it. And so talking to you about that, it's just, I feel really honored to be here today, and I'm really excited to kick it off with Jesse.
All right, Jesse, I wasn't even going to attempt your last name.
It's Jesse Stipkak.
There you go, Stipkak. It's pretty simple when you say it, but you look at it and you're like, oh, should I say this?
It's been tortured over the years, I assure you.
All right, so tell us a little bit about what's happening here. Pickapalooza, right?
Yeah, so Jesse, I actually wanted to start off because there might be people in the community that recognize your name, but it could be from so many different areas. So talk to us a little bit about when you started work here in Lansing and what has brought you to Pickapalooza. Can you just give us a little intro there?
Thank you, Megan. So I came to Michigan State to study business, and I started as a waitress at Reno's 30 years ago, actually. So, and that was at Reno's East. Absolutely loved it. Changed my major to focus more on hospitality business. Then ended up buying Reno's East a couple years later. And then after that, bought Reno's West and then Reno's North. So been in the bar business for 30 years now, and it goes by in just snap of fingers. So
that's awesome. And now you have shifted into the whole pickleball community, which has exploded. Didalian, have you played pickleball?
I have not had a chance yet. I really would like to, and it's a bummer that I just haven't been able to figure out a time to go do it or anything, so maybe this might be my opportunity.
This should be your opportunity.
Yeah. It's we're going to get you out there.
I think you're stuck in here. And everyone's doing it, from little kids all the way up to retired seniors that are kicking my butt on the pickleball courts. Mm-hmm. And so it's been this influence. And so you started doing these big community events. So why don't you talk to us about that? You're going into year three, correct?
Absolutely.
Okay, talk to us a little about Pickapalooza.
Well, let me kind of dial back just a sec to, you know, why I got into pickleball, and then it kind of evolved into this like tournament. So, you know, during COVID was obviously a pretty stressful and devastating time for a lot of people. You know, we were there with our business closed for quite some time. And, you know, I really, you know, started thinking about, you know, what I wanted to do moving forward as we were kind of getting out of this, you know, COVID area. And I really wanted to, you know, keep myself healthy, and, you know, wanted to be around for my kids for a long time. I have three kids, my husband and I, Bob. And so I started learning pickleball, and I'm like, this is the most positive, incredible sport. I'm out there playing with kiddos. I'm playing with 70, 80-year-olds. It's a lot of fun. I had always been an athlete in high school, but over the years with just working and raising the kids and not having a lot of time for myself, I realized I really needed to focus on something a little more healthier. And it just really started exploding. I actually bought this house that you've been at, Megan, and it was a large basketball indoor gym. And we converted it to pickleball courts, and we started inviting all of our friends from the area, some of my Reno's friends, some of my networking friends. And just pretty much everybody that came in absolutely loved it and were just, you know, having a blast. So, you know, I started thinking about a business model for it as well, on, you know, how we could maybe bring this to Reno's, keep people active, you know, more of an active sports bar, more of an entertainment area. So I just really started diving into the pickleball community and finding out everything I could. And so at that point, I got invited to be on the DAPA board, which is Delta Mills Pickleball Park, a community park. They have a voluntary board that raises money for different programming and just things around the park that we may need to raise money for. And so I started with that organization, and at the very first meeting, I was like, we need to do a huge party, Picklepalooza. And so everyone got like super excited about it. And, you know, so Picklepalooza started as a way to, you know, teach the community what pickleball was all about, get them out there exercising at the park. You know, we would loan out paddles, balls. We had volunteer coaches. And so we wanted to put on a big party. And so, you know, we did that. Let's see here. We're going into our third year. We have businesses that sponsor the event and food trucks, bounce houses. So that's so a long answer to a short question.
Was the very first year as substantial as what you've got it now? Or was it more just kind of a basic, hey, let's all get together and do this?
You know what? That's a great question. We started as a one-day event, and you know, we were overwhelmed with the amount of people that came out to learn the sport. And so, you know, the second year we grew it, and this year we've turned it into a three-day event where we're going to have a tournament over the 3 days. Mm-hmm. And the last day is our big event where we have professional players coming to compete so everybody can watch how the pro level is played. And then those pros are going to stick around after and play with, you know, our audience so that people can kind of learn and be able to compete against them. And it's just, yeah, it turned into an incredible free event at Delta Mills Park. And as Megan knows, Megan is in charge of the business showcase. Mm-hmm. So we'll have lots of business owners there out to support and show the community what they do.
Absolutely. No, I'm excited for it this year. And growing into 3 days, can you talk to us a little bit about that? Should the community come out all 3 days, or what's your vision? Why the expansion of 3 days, and where can people really connect? Would that be all 3 days, would you say, or just on that Sunday?
Okay, great question. So the Friday and Saturday tournament. So Friday, we're doing a senior tournament, which is going to be awesome. It's 50 and 60 plus players. So people will sign up that already have been playing pickleball for, you know, the Friday and Saturday event. So that'll be a little more of the, you know, fun, but people who have kind of been in pickleball for a little bit to play. Sunday will be an event that is just very, very open for the community to come out. People who don't even know what pickleball is, we'd love for them to come out. We're going to have all kinds of little games, instructions, showcases, giveaways. So a real fun thing that we did last year with Megan with Acme is she got up into a giant bucket truck and drop 500 balls down to the public. And everyone was running around grabbing all these balls. It was absolutely hilarious. And then they could turn in like certain marked balls for prizes and stuff like that. But it was just super, super fun. And then Megan was also out there. They did a really fun like roof building thing on site with Acme, which was a lot of fun. And people were doing little pickleball relay races. And, you know, it was just really like a big fun day at the park. And we really have some beautiful parks here in Lansing. So it's just been great to get like families, kids, grandparents all out for that event.
Yeah. And if you've never played pickleball and someone comes out to Sunday, will they have an opportunity to actually play pickleball or just watch?
Yeah, we will have volunteers there at certain times. 12 to 4 is the best time to come out. And after the pro tournament and the play with the pros, we are going to have a youth tournament, and that's totally available for people who haven't even played before. It's going to be just a lot of fun. So we'll have a youth tournament. We're also going to be doing a generational tournament. So where a grandparent plays with their grandkid or parents and their kids. So that'll be fun. So it'll be an adult and then a child, you know, 14 and under. So that'll be a real fun thing to do.
Do people typically show up with equipment, or do you guys supply it? How does that work?
Great question. So for our events, we'll definitely have equipment where people can borrow it. So just wear a good pair of shoes and make sure you're hydrated. You want to be safe. But typically during the week when you go up to the park, you do need to bring your own equipment. We do have certain nights of the week where, for instance, Wednesday is beginner night at the park. So we will have paddles where people can borrow them. Mm-hmm. Saturday mornings, we have a volunteer coach that will be there to, at no charge, teach people that are interested between 8 and 9 a.m. every Saturday this summer. So that's going to be a lot of fun, and we will have equipment people can borrow. Our main goal is to build demand, make sure as many people can experience what, you know, pickleball is all about, and really enjoy our public parks. Like, it's just been an incredible thing that our local lake townships and cities are putting in these great pickleball courts for our community to stay active and connected.
That's actually a really good point, because there is a lot going on just in those 3 days. And not only that, but throughout the summer. For someone who's listening that wants to get involved with all that, what is the best way for them to learn where all this stuff is?
I love that you asked that. Actually, there is. So for the Pickle-palooza event itself, we have partnered with Choose Lansing, formerly the Lansing Sports Authority, and they have created a really beautiful website for us with mm-hmm. links to the schedule, to signing up for the tournament. If you're looking it up, it's Choose Lansing, and then it's Pickle-palooza. Ah. So we'll have lots of information on that website. We also have a Facebook page, Pickle-palooza at Delta Mills. And also, just in general, if you're wanting to learn more about pickleball, we have a Delta Mills pickleball page. But if people are interested in just like learning pickleball, we'd love for you to come out to Delta Mills Park. Check out our Facebook page. You can also log on to Delta Township and go to the Parks and Rec Department. We have information about lessons. We do have lessons on Wednesday evenings that are a little more intense, and you do sign up and pay for those lessons if you really want to get into, you know, learning everything there is to know about it. But if you just kind of want to like see what it's about, not have to pay any money, we do have the Saturday morning kind of free show you how to play. They're not intense lessons. It's ran by some very, very friendly and welcoming people. And they can also show you how our park system works. Because when you go out to these like beautiful pickleball community parks in the morning and evening, there's usually a wait to play. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a lot of demand yeah. for this sport. And so what we've done is we've developed like paddle systems, and you know, we have different courts where, hey, this is more of the social courts and this is more of the challenge courts. You put your paddles in, and we make sure it's very, very inclusive and welcoming, and we want people to come out mm-hmm. and meet new people. It's just, that's what this sport is really about. It's not just the exercise, it's the community and the positive like culture around it. Mm-hmm. And for years, you know, I would take my kids to the park, but we really, you know, we wouldn't go out and play sports at the parks, you know. So, I mean, you know, maybe softball back in my younger days, but this has just been such a rewarding experience to meet other members of the community. I see business owners, I see customers, I see, you know, parents of, you know, my kids, friends, and, you know, it's just a place to gather, have a lot of fun, and also, you know, be healthy while you're doing it.
Absolutely. I can see your face completely lighting up whenever you talk about community and bringing people together, and it's really inspiring. I wish everyone could see your face right now. You just light up. You're so excited. I can feel the energy.
Pretty sure she said positive 3 times now.
I'm sure she did. You could just see she doesn't even want to sit in her seat anymore. I wish you guys all could see her. There is so much energy, and I love that. Now, I know that there are people in this community that have played pickleball before.
Yes.
Okay, so if they want to play, is there still time to sign up?
Oh, yeah. We definitely have time to sign up. If people are interested in playing and they want to learn a little bit more or kind of level up, if they want to actually like join the tournament, there are plenty of opportunities in the next month. So this event is going on June 5th, 6th, and 7th. Our registration will be open until about a week before the event.
Okay.
So if people want to come out, there's different levels of the tournament that you can play in. And so if you're not sure what level, you can come out to our park, and especially on like Wednesday beginner night at Delta Mills. And, you know, you can play around with us. We can give you suggestions on what level you should sign up for. for. We can help give you like tips and techniques to kind of get you kind of to the next level there.
Okay.
There's also lots of other parks and opportunity. We partner with Court One Athletics, and they also have lots of like clinics and days to learn the sport where you don't have to necessarily become a member. You can kind of do a drop-in and learn a little bit more about it. Yep. But again, our main goal, and again, our organization is DAPA, which is the Delta Area Pickleball Association. It's all volunteers, all there to help like show people the love of this game and why the sport can be amazing. There's incredible stories of people that have either lost a ton of weight or, you know, wanted to make connections in the community, just moved to town, or, you know, finding a healthy outlet. And one really positive aspect of this is there's endless fundraising opportunities. So, you know, I am working on Picklepalooza. I've also worked on probably 5 or 6 other large pickleball events. We've raised money just recently. You know, we did one for, you know, breast cancer research. We did one with Deb Moreland for pickleball for ALZ, where we raised money for the Alzheimer's Association. We do a large annual event at Court One Pickle Paws that I know Megan was involved in here, and that's for Happy Feet Pet Rescue. We're working on a DeWitt Panther paddle tournament coming up in the next couple weeks, and that's to benefit the DeWitt tennis team. So it really is becoming kind of like the new golf outing where you can put on these fun community events, raise money for a great cause, you know, have all the community involvement and a fun day out. And this sport is just incredible because pretty much anyone can access this space, you know, all ages. And
Yeah, it's really taken off, huh?
Yeah.
I guess I'm going to be the voice of the novice who's never done this before. Sure. And I'm kind of curious. So you say there's two things that I want to know. One is, what is standard equipment? What do you grab?
Okay.
And then second question is you said there's some physicality to it, but we're talking about like a wide age range.
Yeah.
When you're talking 70s and 80s, that's kind of the point where you don't want to really be moving as much, or you're not moving as much. I'm not going to say that for every 70 and 80 year old.
Yep.
But how much exertion is there to this?
Oh my gosh, this is amazing. I do think like one of the biggest hurdles of getting into the sport is people have reported injuries. And so people are saying, oh, I might get hurt. Okay. Listen, like, you might not get hurt sitting on your couch watching TV and drinking beer for hours, but it's not going to extend your life, you know? So, and people do get injured in sports. So you want to do all the typical things, you know, to get ready for it. You want to stretch. Hey, if you are a little bit older or you have some health conditions, you probably should check with your doctor and make sure that you're good to go if you're a little nervous there. But stretching, making sure you have the right pair of shoes, you're talking about equipment, and really just a pickleball paddle, you know, so shoes, pickleball paddle, and I highly, highly recommend eyewear because, you know, most of your other body parts you injure, you know, you can kind of repair it and get back out there. But eyes are a very like scary thing that you don't want to mess with, obviously. And even if you, you know, you can get even just like cheap sunglass frames and pop the lenses out as long as you have the frame just to kind of protect your eye area.
Okay.
Highly recommend. Yeah, because some people, it bothers them to, you know, be looking through, you know, whatever.
I got a pair of those at home.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, see, that was good to know, because I would not have thought of the eyewear. So.
Yes. And, you know, we recommend that. And so you mentioned, you know, the different age groups. The reason the sport is the greatest sport in the history of the universe is there's so many different ways to play. So there, and there's endless ways to level up. Like, you start out playing, you know, checkers, and it becomes a chess game, like, down the road. Like, it really is strategy. It builds mental acuity. I just read an article about how good it is for Parkinson's patients. Like, it really can, like, you know, reconnect certain neuropaths or whatever. And it's very accessible for the community, you know, when you go to like Naples, there's a lot of like wheelchair playing high level pickleball. One of the connections that our DAPA organization has made is with the Unified Group, which is part of Special Olympics, and that is at the high schools. So Waverly and Grand Ledge High School have this unified program where a exceptional athlete, which is kind of a Special Olympic athlete, is paired with a student athlete, and they are going to play pickleball together and do like a 3 to 4 week session where at Grand Ledge and Waverly, they will each have this going on. And then we're going to have kind of like a playoff fun event that our Delta Kiwanis group is sponsoring. We're going to barbecue for the kids and have them come out and do like a little mini tournament at Delta Mills. And again, it just kind of like showcases how this can reach just multiple different groups of people, different ages, different accessibility, you know, challenge athletes, and even children. One thing that our group is doing and why we're raising money is because it supplements our Little Picklers program. So last year we ran a youth camp where we taught kids, I think the youngest was six, up to about 14. And my son Drake was out there as an assistant coach, coaching the kiddos. And it was just such a, you know, fun program for these kids to learn. And they leveled up very quickly and were able to learn the sport. And a lot of them have re-signed up for this year. And just going to be a very fun, exciting summer.
That's great.
At the parks.
Yeah. And that actually is interesting. We'll see how long it takes before they start putting this into the school system.
Oh,
and
I
doing
think it's
school sports
coming.
And all the things, so it's coming.
I mean, our biggest goal is to get it to be an MSHA sanctioned sport. And I think that, you know, it can fit with the co-ed sport. The way a lot of these, there's a lot of club programs at colleges now, and it is slated to be in the Olympics now. We've all been pushing for that, and they did announce recently that it's going to be in the next Olympics, which is exciting. But it can be a co-ed sport. The way a lot of these club college teams, they play this MLP style, which is a slightly different style than rec games, and you play on a team of four people, two guys and two females, and you play like, you know, the male gender doubles and the female gender doubles, and then you play mixed doubles, and then you even play some singles. So it's just like a really interesting way to play, and it involves, you know, both sexes, which is awesome. So that can help the whole Title IX getting it into the schools.
This is sounding so much like a worldwide movement, and you're bringing it right here into the Lansing community and making it so accessible, which is so fun. And making it for everyone to be able to participate, it seems like. So it's great.
It's
What is one thing that you wish the community knew? What is one thing that you think is most misunderstood about pickleball that you think you would love the community to know?
I think that one of the biggest things is you can go out to your local parks and you can, you know, be welcomed into, we call it, used to be called open play, now it's called rotational play. So Patriarch, Towner, Kiwanis and Holt, Granger right by Reno's North in DeWitt Township. So you come out, they either have whiteboard or paddle systems, and these are all designed to bring in complete strangers and welcome them to all play together. And we're really trying to let people know that this is very welcome to a brand new person. You can come out here. People really love to like teach new people so that, because someone did it for them. So, and it brought so much joy to their life, many new friendships, and you know, just a healthier lifestyle. And I just think that there's just these barriers that we're really, with Picklepalooza and our other tournaments, we're really trying to get over those barriers and just come out to your local park, like meet your neighbors, like play with different ages, like find reasons for us all to have a shared common goal. And, you know, this fits in with what I have been doing at Reno's for 30 years, which is celebrate, find reasons that we all have more more things in common, whether it's a sports team or, you know, live entertainment or playing, you know, pickleball. You know, we come from different backgrounds and different viewpoints, but here out at the park, we're not talking politics, we're not talking religion, we're not talking controversy. We're talking and laughing and having fun, our adrenaline's, you know, getting us all excited and happy to be there. So it's just, you know, we need more positivity in life.
That's good.
And we need to celebrate people more. So,
Dedalion, let's work on getting our equipment.
So you don't have any?
I don't have it. Well,
but you've played before, right?
I have played. I played at her courts, not nearly as much as most people, though. So we can say that we're starting on playing grounds.
I would be there on Sunday.
I know, right? Right. So the sun is coming out in Lansing. Go out to Lansing Parks and practice. And then in the meantime, we all need to add it to our calendar. So can you remind us again the date and time if we want to go?
That's June 5th, 6th, and 7th. Find us at Picklepalooza with Choose Lansing. We have a website there so you can find out more details, and we'd absolutely love to see everyone.
And of course, I'll have a lot of this information in our show notes for this episode of Community Combos.
Thank you, Jesse, for coming out. Thank you, Dedalion, for having me here today. This was a lot of laughs. Jesse, we're looking forward to seeing you on the pickleball courts.
And thanks so much for having me. Thank you. Appreciate it.
You've been listening to Community Combos, a podcast from LCC Connect. Listen to this episode and others at lccconnect.com or wherever you get your podcasts. If you or someone you know would like to feature an event on Community Combos, email us lcc-connect@lcc.edu. And thanks for joining the combo.
This is LCC Connect.
Voices. Vibes. Vision.
The Center for Veteran and Family Support at Lansing Community College welcomes veterans and military-connected students. Visit lcc.edu and search Veteran Services to find out more information.
Hi, I'm Greg Laddick, and I host a show called Stars on Sports with Assistant Athletic Director Stephen Cutter here on LCC Connect. It's all about Lansing Community College Athletic Department. You can always find out more about Stars on Sports and listen on demand at lccconnect.org.
To some, a baby's babbling doesn't mean much, but it does. Especially if there's no babbling at all. Little to no babbling by 12 months or later is just one of the possible signs of autism in children. Learn more at autismspeaks.org.
The Adult Enrichment Program offers massage for beginners, giving participants the opportunity to learn how to ease tension for a partner, comfort a family member, or simply learn a new skill. This non-credit course teaches basic massage techniques and the healing power of touch. More information is available at lcc.edu/keeplearning.
LCC.
Connect.
Voices.
Vibes.
Vision.
This is Bob Myers from the Historical Society of Michigan with a Michigan History Moment. Mackinac Island has many wonders. Among them, its lilacs. The island is famed for its lilacs that burst into fragrant bloom every June. For a couple of glorious weeks, Mackinac Island is alive with poofs of purple, pink, magenta, lilac, blue, and white, and the blossom's wonderful aroma. The island offers ideal growing conditions for many species of lilacs, some of them that stand almost three stories tall. Lilacs, however, are not indigenous to Mackinac Island or even North America. Tour guides like to tell visitors that Jesuit missionaries brought the lilacs to the island, but alas, that story is a myth. Lilacs, which are native to Eastern Europe and Asia, came to America sometime in the mid-18th century. 19th century settlers probably introduced them to Mackinac Island. They were certainly on the island by 1861, because when naturalist and author Henry David Thoreau visited that year, he noted in his journal that apple trees and lilacs were in bloom. Most of the lilacs, however, were planted by island business owners in the mid-19th century to help attract tourists. It worked. Today, the annual Lilac Festival draws thousands of visitors to Mackinac Island. Many of the island's lilacs are old, so attention in recent years has turned to pruning and removing old shrubs and planting new ones. Varieties called President Lincoln and President Grevy, the latter named for a 19th century president of France, now grow around the island marina and in Marquette Park. Other lilacs on the island were contributed by the International Lilac Society. Today, about 20% of the island's lilacs are either early or late bloomers. The latter varieties, such as the bright pink Miss Canada and the purplish Isabella Preston, extend Mackinac Island's lilac season later into the summer. Other popular varieties include the large and fragrant Pocahontas, the white-edged Sensation, the pure white Madame Limon, and the creamy white and pink Beauty of Moscow. Mackinac Island's lilacs have even made it into the silver screen. The 1947 motion picture, This Time for Keeps, starred Esther Williams and Jimmy Durante. It was partially filmed at the Grand Hotel, and the soundtrack included a song by Leslie Kirk entitled When It's Lilac Time on Mackinac Island. This Michigan History Moment was brought to you by MichiganHistoryMagazine.org.
Keep connected with LCC Connect at lccconnect.org.
LCC
Connect.
Voices.
Vibes.
Vision.
K-12 Operations at Lansing Community College has been a proud collaborator of the Lansing Promise Scholarship since 2012. The Lansing Promise Scholarship offers graduating high school seniors who live within the Lansing School District and attend a high school within district boundaries an opportunity to attend LCC. Since its inception, over 1,000 enrolled students have saved over $2 million, earning over 400 degrees and certificates, as well as 30,000 credits at LCC. For more information on the Lansing Promise Scholarship, please visit lcc.edu/hope.
Feeling froggy? Well, leap into 20-plus podcasts at lccconnect.org.
Art Happens Here, the podcast that explores the often curious and occasionally amazing art installations on, in, and around the campuses of Lansing Community College. I'm your host, Bruce Mackley.
Listen to this program and many others on demand at lccconnect.org.
I want to tell you a secret everyone should know.
Are you listening?
When it comes to your body,
the greatest gift you can give yourself
is knowing your HIV status.
Knowing your status allows you to live your life
and stay healthy.
So follow my lead.
I'm doing it.
I'm doing it.
I'm doing it.
And make HIV testing a part of your routine.
It's fast, free, and confidential.
Get tested today. You'll be glad you did.
Visit cdc.gov/doing it.
A healthcare-related job training program is now offered 100% online through the LCC Job Training Center. The program prepares students for medical administrative careers and certifications, allowing them to learn at their own pace and on their own schedule. More information about the Medical Front Office Specialist Program can be found at lcc.edu/JTC.
LCC.
Connect.
Voices.
Vibes.
Vision.
Hello there, this is Terry Denise, a Lansing Community College student and your host of Ripper, an LCC Connect podcast where I interview others and ask about their unique efforts and connections in, around, and beyond the community of Michigan's capital city. Well, hello. This is Terry Denise, or T-Den, and this is Ripper, and I have a special guest who is...
Dedalian Lowry.
Dedalian, how are you? Is it going today?
It is going well.
All right. So, what is your official title?
I usually refer to myself as the general manager of LCC Connect. I'm also the station manager for WLNZ and the TV station here at LCC too.
So you are a lot of things, actually. There's not just one title.
They're all kind of interconnected, but yeah, I do different things.
Did you also teach here at any point?
I have never been a teacher itself. No, no.
Okay, why not?
Just had never gone down that road.
No?
I was part-time for the longest time here at LCC. And then it was 2013 when my predecessor, Dave Downing, he was the former station manager here at WLNZ. And when he retired, it was funny because I was actually trying to get out of radio at that time. But when he retired, the opportunity came. And yeah, I was asked to fill in for the interim. And then eventually I decided, you know what? I'm really digging being a part of radio again. Okay, I'm back on board. And so I applied for the job then.
Oh, wow. Okay. So we get from WLNZ. For those that don't know, WLNZ is an FM radio station that ran out of LCC. It's still a station.
It still is, and it's still owned by Lansing Community College. That gets to be a little bit confusing, and I understand that from being on the outside. Most of the programming you're going to hear on 89.7 is going to be WUOM, which is Michigan Public.
Okay.
And so that gets a little bit confusing for people. But when the transition happened, Dr. Robinson made a point to still kind of make sure that Lansing Community College, and I should say the board and all the other folks that were involved, made sure that the licensing still stayed with Lansing Community College.
Oh, that's great. Is it difficult to keep a license for radio?
You know, I don't know really how to answer that because there's many avenues when you're talking about dealing with the Federal Communications Commission.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's just different avenues where there's certain things you have to do, like maintaining a public file, I think is the easiest example I can give you. And that means that you have to take documentation, constantly make sure that it's, you know, correct, accurate, and updated.
Okay.
So in that sense, maintaining a license, yeah, could be difficult. Beyond that, you know, there's so many facets to it that
right.
I don't even know that we would have time to cover it all.
So an important thing about making sure that the licensing is not revoked or anything like that is just to make sure that you're following FCC standards
and
guidelines.
Following FCC guidelines is a major thing. And what you're going to find is it's going to be different whether you're nonprofit versus a profit station. The ones that I've worked for here in Lansing were like WFMK. I worked at WJXQ, okay. Also at WVIC back in the day.
WVIC.
So, yes, yes. But mine was like post that. So anyway, the point is that, you know, the rules that they follow are going to be different than the rules, say, we follow here at WLNZ. Ours is a nonprofit radio station. As a nonprofit radio station, you don't get advertisers. You get sponsorship and you get underwriters. And those underwriters and sponsorships, they have to follow a certain guideline when they're putting their message out there. So I can't do, you know, come on down and buy our used cars. You can't do that with nonprofit radio. But you can say, such and such dealership sponsors the program of Ripper, and then you kind of can give some information. So it's just a different approach. But if you were to violate that, yes, you could lose your broadcast license.
Okay. Well, that's very good to know. Starting out. So are there different protocols to follow for podcasting versus radio as far as guidelines?
So our podcasts are a little bit different in the fact that they are also part of a radio program for WLNZ.
Mm-hmm.
A typical podcast, though, no. There aren't any regulations as far as I am aware of, you know, say if you wanted somebody to sponsor your show, I think you can pretty much insert it just like an ad.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that I'm not aware of.
Well, it sounds like you have enough of your career that has been in this area of work. So
for broadcasting, yes. What's different for me, though, is the podcast side. So the podcasting, when we started that back in 22, I've been learning as I go in some ways. But it doesn't mean, you know, I have been on podcasts before as a guest, but it was never in this capacity where I'm producing and creating and developing podcasts all the time.
Oh, wow. Okay. So that's a huge part of what you are doing right now. You just said that you were a guest on different podcasts before. It seems like you interview a lot of different people. And I was wondering if you ever get a chance to be a guest and talk about yourself.
Oddly enough, yes, I have. In some ways, I think it is because people kind of get to know me as they're creating their podcasts. So very often I've been asked to be the guest because, you know, people tend to get comfortable with me and they understand that, you know, I'm here to help them do what they're doing. I have been on Lisa Alexander's podcast, Who's That Star? So she does a podcast for us that talks with people here around the college. Mm-hmm. And when she began that show, I was doing everything I could to encourage her and let her know, you've got this. So I was her very first guest. And then front row backstage with Greg Trimmer.
So, oh, excellent.
Yeah. And then there's other times that I show up. So
I just out of the blue.
Sometimes. And then sometimes you'll hear me like Stars on Sports and a Psycho Delicious Conversation. I often am in the studio producing the actual episode. Mm-hmm. So when that happens, occasionally the hosts will bounce off me thoughts or ideas. And so I jump on.
So they literally just pull you into the room and are like, I need you.
Yes. All right. Very much. Well, I mean, I'm in the room and then they're like, well, the Delian's here. So let's ask him a question.
That was excellent. Okay. And we're going to go back here a little bit. I wanted to get an idea of where, if you are comfortable enough answering questions about where you're from and.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Originally from Mason. So Mason, Michigan.
Okay.
20 minutes outside of Lansing. For anybody not familiar with the area. Even back then, I had an interest in radio. We didn't really have that type of thing in Mason back in those days. Yeah, I grew up there and then went to Michigan State University, graduated from there with an advertising degree.
Okay.
Honestly, really didn't do much with my advertising degree because it really wasn't the degree for me when I was going to college. I just chose it because... Mm-hmm. I was expected to go to college. And it's funny because as I have been here at LCC, very often you're going to hear conversations with like advisors mm-hmm. and everybody else that's here now. And I wish I had had that support when I was going to college. Anyway, so went through the program, got done, didn't do anything with my degree. Worked as a bar manager, like I said, club DJing. I would do weddings, event DJs, all sorts of things.
Okay.
Bartending and everything else. So
pause.
I did that for the longest time. Go ahead.
Let's pause here. I'm very interested in what bars you were working at around the area.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, there's been several bars. Most of them are shut down now.
Okay.
The main one I worked at for the longest time and where I got most of my experience was Roxy's, which used to be this club on the west side of Lansing. Were you familiar with it?
No. What was it? How is it spelled?
It was Roxy's, R-O-X-Y.
Okay.
And then apostrophe S. And then it was on the west side of town, mm-hmm. inside the Best Western that used to be over on that side of town.
Down by Horrocks.
Next to Grand Ledge. It was actually Kitty Corner from Horrocks.
So, what?
Yeah.
Okay, so what's down there now? There's
the Outback Steakhouse and some other stuff, yeah.
So there was a whole different kind of setup in that area.
That whole thing was a hotel called the Best Western Midway Hotel.
Okay.
And there was a restaurant in there and there was a bar and that nightclub that was in there. Mm-hmm. I was the manager of that for many, many years, as well as a DJ and bartender and just did all sorts of stuff there.
Okay. So you often are in the realms of multitasking.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm not the greatest multitasker. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not.
No.
But it seems like jobs I fall into. Yeah. It's a lot of multitasking.
What? How? Okay.
Not only that, but there was points where, you know, I would have to not only bartend, but manage and then sometimes in some capacity DJ all at once.
All in the same night.
Sort of, yeah.
Okay.
It was kind of an interesting setup sometimes.
What a facilitating kind of person. Did you work at any of the MSU area bars at all? Anything like
that? I didn't really work in East Lansing at all.
Okay.
Most of the stuff, it's like I said, I most of these are gone now. So,
well, ones I was going to see if you were familiar with or if you ever had worked at, one was Sneakers.
I remember sneakers, but no, I didn't want work at that.
No. Okay. And then the other one was Sparties.
Sparties. I got kicked out of there one time, actually.
Okay. Tell the story.
No. Well, the funny thing is I got kicked out of there for, and I was underage at the time.
Wasn't everybody underage?
Underage, I meant like I was between 18 and 21, but okay. 18 was allowed in there.
Yes.
And I hadn't been drinking, but I was a very wild dancer. Like, I'm not kidding you. I was just, and I know as I look back now, you know, I was probably out of control at times. But, you know, if you remember In Living Color, the TV show.
Yes.
And all the dancing they did on there, and like MC Hammer, he came along. Mm-hmm. So I did like really crazy dancing. Like I would do splits and all these different things.
Oh, my gosh.
And
what?
And he was, the bouncer was convinced that I had been drinking. And that's the thing, is I had not been drinking.
Okay.
But he was just like, because of the way I was dancing, he's like, you're out of here. I'm like, come on.
I'm so sorry.
It was ridiculous. It seriously was. I don't know that I've ever told anybody that story. So, other than the people that were with me that night, I don't know that anybody really knew.
Witnesses. Well, we are.
So way to rip it out of me.
That's what I'm here to do. Justifying all of your innocence right now. This is justification for kicking you out of Sparties.
I suppose so.
You know, there's so all the stories that I heard about Sparties. I was not allowed to go there, of course. But for all of the stories that I've heard, that does not compare to anything for people that should have been kicked out of the club a long time ago for various things took place.
I'm going to go back to what you originally asked, because actually, technically speaking, I did DJ at Sparties.
You did?
In a way, okay. But it was a different thing. I'm trying to remember the name of the place. Again, it shut down.
You mean it was a different bar?
It was Green Dot Stables last, but before that, it was the, oh my goodness.
No, you're right.
Whiskey Barrel?
Yes.
Whiskey Barrel.
There was the Whiskey Barrel, and then there was, I should know this because I know the people that were running it. It was the one between that and Green Dot as well, but Whiskey Barrel Saloon. Yeah.
So I used to DJ there.
Yes, okay.
When it was a country bar, and then also, I think it was Wednesday nights was more, Wednesdays or Thursday, I used to DJ those nights when all the students from MSU, for some reason, went there.
Well, it's right next to, it's off of campus there.
Right, but they weren't typically there on a, say, Saturday. I'm not going to say that some of them didn't show up. But it was a night that was supposed to be geared towards them.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
I can't remember what they called it, but it was like college night or something like that.
Sure, that makes sense.
You know, and so that night, and that night was always the busiest.
Okay. What's like your DJ sets usually? Or do you have a very, like you have a very eclectic kind of set of things that you do, obviously. Do you have, does that?
I have an eclectic taste in music.
Okay, I was going to ask if that's parallel to what you're into. So what do you like to play then?
I mean, I don't ever specifically play anything. I very much try to read the crowd.
Okay.
And play to the crowd. Always do that every time.
Yep.
I've DJed a lot of weddings over the years. Mm-hmm. And weddings are interesting in that you will have everybody from your 13-year-old cousin to your 87-year-old grandma.
Okay.
So you have to figure out a way to make that work. Mm-hmm. And it's always interesting trying to come up with a playlist that accommodates that wide of an age range. And I suppose I had always come up with a way where you kind of play the older stuff at the beginning and as you go, you know, and the older folks start to move on, then you start to get to the younger music. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of how it's always worked for me.
That sounds
But I don't specifically I don't have go-to type
playlists.
No. Yeah, I very much play off the cuff and whatever it is I feel like, you know, as I read the room.
That's actually refreshing. So you don't have just like a button that you push and you're like, this is my number three playlist for the standard.
Absolutely never.
That's really cool. What are three typical songs that you would play for?
There are certain ones that they've always been go-tos. And I say that because it's typically anytime you play them, if they're enjoying themselves, they want people to dance, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's usually what made my time go faster. I
absolutely cannot stand the Cupid Shuffle.
Okay. Oh, what?
But anytime somebody wants me to play it, I will play it. Okay. Well, and the only reason I don't like it is because I've DJed for so many years that I have heard it so many times. The app I use actually tells you how many times you've played it, and that one is always at the top.
Sure.
Even though myself, you know, on my own personal time, I've never listened to the Cupid Shuffle. I don't want to hear it. I've heard it too many times. But the Cupid Shuffle, Cha-Cha Slide, anything like that, participation dance, I'm always about playing.
Okay.
I will say that the Black Eyed Peas, Bruno Mars, those types of performers typically get played quite a bit at most anything I do. And I'm not really giving you three specific songs. I'm actually giving you artists, and I know that, but
no,
that's an easier way to do it.
Sure. Honestly, I was expecting to hear the chicken dance.
Oh, yeah. Well, for weddings, that's another participation dance, and it's also another one that I do not want to hear again in my life if I can help it. But I will, and I know that. The one that I always find interesting is when I get a rock and roll crowd and you have to figure out what songs work best for them.
Okay.
Because rock and roll does not necessarily always like translate to, hey, this is danceable.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you got your You Shook Me All Night Long. That's always a go-to. You've always got the Locomotion, Grand Funk Railroad version.
Oh.
The Little Eva version is probably my preferred version.
The one from the 80s?
Yeah. No, the one from the, No, that was, I can't even think of who that was now.
It wasn't Kylie Minogue, was it?
No, I was thinking that's who came to my brain, but, and we may be right.
Okay.
Yeah, we may be right. We'd have to look it up. I'm not going to multitask that.
I'll do that later.
Anyway, that's kind of the way I approach it.
All right.
That was the long way around to getting to what you were asking.
No problem. All right. Well, thank you for going into that area. So you said you went to Mason, grew up in Mason.
Yeah.
What at all interested you in radio? Did you have like a ham radio growing up or anything?
No, I didn't really. What really kind of got me interested back then was there was like this kind of DJ war between Rich Michaels and Tim Barron.
Rich Michaels. That is not a name I've heard in a long time.
Yeah. The two of them kind of used to go back and forth. Rich was on WVIC back in the day.
Mm-hmm. Which was that was the oldie station, wasn't it?
Back then, it was more contemporary hit is what you would call it. So it was back in the 80s.
Okay.
And then Tim would be on Q106.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it was, if they were goofing around or what, but they would just kind of rip on each other back and forth. And it was kind of that war that had me going, this is kind of fun.
Okay.
This seems like this would be fun. And so I got into it, but that was the thing is I didn't really follow that path right away. I didn't follow that path until I got to about well after college. And there was a point where when I was managing the bar, I was just done with it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I decided to return to school and I came to Lansing Community College for radio specifically.
Okay. So you did actually go to LCC as well.
Well, I started in the media technology program, but I got a job before I finished the program.
Oh.
So I never ended up getting a degree in that area.
Okay. So because, yeah, why would you? You're already working.
I was already doing it. But the problem is a number of people that went through that program also did the same thing. So that program had a hard time showing a graduation rate and actually showing that, look, these guys are actually getting jobs, which we were.
Mm-hmm.
We were just doing it to the point where we already had the job, didn't need the degree, and so we just never finished it. And it's unfortunate. But
interesting.
That happens. And then later on, I got tired of radio and decided I wanted to get into graphic design. So then I did actually get a second degree in graphic design here at LCC.
Okay. So the rivalry was, it was definitely a great play for other audience listeners as well then, possibly.
I mean, I assume, you know, that it was just something that they did back in the day.
It kept people interested.
Because you don't hear it as much anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I don't hear the rivalries. I don't hear the competition of these guys suck and we're awesome.
Okay, so it was straight up like those kinds of things being said. It's ridiculous. In the radio voice. So we do see a lot of podcast rivalries nowadays because people get so personal into their lives on podcasts. Do you see any of that happening for anything like that too?
What's, say it again.
Any kind of podcast rivalries?
Oh, no, 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 not here at LCC Connect anyway. No. You know, I kind of approach what we do here in the same fashion that I did the radio station. And that is, we kind of just do our own thing. We're here to support the community, mm-hmm. our students, our staff, our faculty. That's what we do.
Excellent.
Here at LCC Connect. So,
all right. So, okay. No, let no me, ripper me, sucks kind of a thing unless no. I say it, right? Yeah. I can say
you
it.
You can say it.
Okay. Perfect. Yeah. Self-deprecation.
Yeah,
the
no,
best.
There's not a lot of rivalry between our podcasts at all. In fact, everybody's very supportive of each other.
That's great. That's nice to know. What brought you out of not wanting to be in radio anymore around 2013? What was going on?
Well, my life looked a little different at that time. Mm-hmm. When you're in radio, in order to advance, you need to be able to pick up, go to a different city if need be. I mean, you're talking about Lansing. I don't know where we are now, mm-hmm. But we used to be 110 or 120, I think, at the time that I was in the market. And by that, I mean, you're talking about population level.
Okay.
So we used to be like at 110 or 112. You're talking about Chicago, LA, New York, you know, the big cities, mm-hmm. that's Seattle, you know, top 10 right there. Mm-hmm. And really, in order for you to advance, you need to be able to pick up, move on to a bigger market. Mm-hmm. Well, at the time that I was in radio, I had gotten married and I had a stepdaughter. And it was one of those things where picking up a family and moving them wasn't really feasible. So I decided mm-hmm. it was time to reevaluate the direction I was going because I wasn't going to get too much further than where I was mm-hmm. in Lansing radio. And so I decided graphic design.
Sure.
Because I already had the advertising degree, it kind of sort of fit. And at the same time, I absolutely love doing artwork.
Okay.
So it was one of those things that I decided I was going to get into graphic design. I did that for quite a while here at the college. Mm-hmm. Really. I did it for 4 years. And then, like I said, my predecessor, he retired. So I said, yep, I'm back in radio.
Okay. And then you...
And I should say by that time I'd gone through a divorce. So, you know, there was really no reason for me not to get back into radio.
Okay. So I'm sorry, but to bring you back around to the, you brought graphic design in as an additional tool that you have now.
Yes.
So yeah. You put in a lot of work into what you do.
I do.
I want to say thank you, first of all, because I can tell that all of the things that you do, it's beyond passion project, obviously.
Yeah, it's a love. Actually, I would call it more of a love for the people that I work with than it is a passion project, really. I mean, it's the people. It's the same thing that I went through with LCC Radio, where I would see us. I'm going to give a student example. I remember one student who came in, and when I came back to the station, a lot of these students weren't on air at all. Mm-hmm. So they weren't on a microphone. They weren't doing anything live. They were doing what we call in the radio world voice tracking. That's a pre-recorded show, basically.
Okay.
So I encouraged them all to get on the microphone to do live shows on the station. I had one person that was very reluctant, really kind of gave me a lot of pushback. Mm-hmm. But I sat in with her on a couple of shows, and then after a while, she just got a little more comfortable. By the time I was done at LCC Radio with her, I had her up on a stage talking in front of thousands of people. And that's partly what I like to see. I like to see that confidence building that most people are going to go through. Even the most confident of people, after they've been doing podcasting or broadcasting or anything like that, mm-hmm. I see them get even more confident.
So that's very interesting that you actually point that out, because with DJing, you said that you like to see that people are getting out there and getting together and having a good time. So you have this real natural ability to encourage people into
to get out of their comfort zone.
To get out of their comfort zone and into a much better headspace where they're not even thinking anymore. They're just doing, correct?
Yes. And if I could learn to do that with myself more often, it would be awesome.
Isn't that, that's the Muse's paradox, isn't it?
I suppose so. We'll call it that.
I actually wanted to ask you about your name.
Yeah.
Before I go into asking you about your name origin, I'm just going to head off here and make sure that...
We're getting low on time. That's what you're trying to say, right?
Yes, that I marked the time.
Is it a little difficult talking to the guy that's going to edit your show and tell you, I got to cut this out, got to cut this out.
Going to cut it out. I'm going to cut a part of these down into two parts, actually. So so thank you for joining, by the way. We'll be back here again for the second parter with Dedalian Lowry. So stay tuned and we'll be back.
Thanks for tuning in to Ripper. You can find more about this and other LCC Connect podcasts at lccconnect.com.
This is WLNZ Lansing. You're listening to LCC Connect, a weekly program that features the voices, vibes, and vision of Lansing Community College. To find out more about LCC Connect programs or to listen on demand, visit us at lccconnect.org.
LCC
Connect.
Voices.
Vibes.
Vision.